And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border to what we get to call once again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, that's just the radio audience. Then there's all y'all on the online, going into everywhere in the big wide world, going to the World Wide Web and checking us out on YouTube, our website, on Facebook, on Rumble, on Twitter, all of it. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. I got to get some text messages. I got to tell you, too, the news is like moving almost. It's like we're going to be talking in real time a lot on this Israel and Iran thing. One headline right now breaking as we speak on Fox News says the U.S. is assisting Israel in shooting down Iran's missiles. Now, I expected that. We did that last year. Even during the Biden administration, we did that. All that is a defensive measure. It's not an offensive measure. And we already have, President Trump has increased our capabilities over there with THAAD missile defense and Patriot batteries to augment the Iron Dome. So I'm not a bit surprised to find out that, because I think we already have forces in the area who were there with the deployed arrays of air defenses. So, yeah, we probably are. And then we've also got, I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out, because it's about it's a huge expanse. Like I heard somebody say this morning that a missile going from Iran to hit, say, Tel Aviv is like launching a missile in New York to hit Los Angeles. It's that far apart. You've got Iraq and Syria in between, and so there's a huge expanse of ground. So there's plenty of time there for them to be detected and hopefully taken out. And I believe that we are launching also from Carrier Strike Group in the Gulf, which also gives us some over-the-horizon capability to take out those missiles. A lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff. We'll be moving as fast as we can on it. In fact, I see Marshall from Dubai texted in. He says, the news cycle is moving so fast in the past 24 hours, I had to adjust my memes. He said, enjoy, my friend. Happy birthday to the Army and the greatest president of all time. And he sends a meme. What's Ahmed the dead terrorist? You seen him?
I have, yeah.
Ahmed the dead terrorist is flying a flying carpet, being shot down by Snoopy with an Israeli flag on his doghouse. That's hilarious. Thank you, Marshall. Appreciate you. Be safe over there. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, just wondering if this is maybe the start of World War III with Russia and Ukraine, China looking to take Taiwan. I wonder who will come to the aid of Iran since China, Russia, and North Korea all have ties. Will there be a new NATO-type alliance for the Middle East? One would hope not. So to be honest with you, now what you're saying is absolutely what I would fear that more so were the Biden administration still in place. That was actually one of my deep concerns last year and the year before that, was that we were looking at a 2-3 front potential war if all of these folks saw feckless Joe Biden incapable of making decisions. Can you imagine what they would do? They would be saying, okay, they're distracted. Quick, they're distracted by the Iran-Israel thing. Now we want to take this. Now we're going to launch that. And yes, I could see suddenly Russia bowing up in dealing with it. Why do you think Trump, by the way, Trump is not just negotiating peace because he just wants peace in Ukraine. It's bigger than that. He's negotiating peace to keep us out of it. He's negotiating peace to try and remove one more distraction from the world stage, knowing full well there's a lot of hotspots. So what you're watching right now with the peace negotiations in Ukraine and Russia, think of that as being absolutely in the U.S. national interest to negotiate that peace. We don't want that to broaden. We don't want NATO sucked in. We don't want to deal with whether we would have to respond to Article 5 of the NATO Convention because another NATO country was struck. We don't want to deal with that. And we also don't want to see it expand any further anyway because peace is in the world's best interest. But now we've also got the Iran-Israel thing, which was spiking up last year. And the end result of that is that we've got a full-on distraction going in the Middle East. We don't need, oh, by the way, China bowing up. So if you'll notice, take the totality of the circumstances. What have you heard from Trump in recent days? He had a great phone call, he said, with Premier Xi from China, working out a trade negotiation. Do not think for a second that that trade negotiation didn't also address national security issues. They didn't just talk about tariffs. They didn't just talk about goods and the traversing of ports. They didn't. I guarantee you. They also said, and oh, by the way, this goes out the window if something happens to Taiwan. So as Trump is negotiating trade deals, what he's also doing is establishing relationships that give him the ability to then pick up the phone. And I want you to remember, it was just 2 years ago in the Middle East when Saudi Arabia actually would not take Joe Biden's phone call. Do you remember that? Saudi Arabia would not even take Joe Biden's phone call. Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Abdullah just said in an interview about, 2 months ago, that if Iran got nuclear weapons, that Saudi Arabia would feel obligated to have to pursue nuclear weapons themselves because they could not sit by and let Iran become the nuclear power of the Middle East. Why does Saudi Arabia care? They're all Islamic. No, gosh, no, they're not. No. The Iranians don't consider themselves Middle Eastern. They consider themselves Persians. And the Iranians are Shia Muslims. And the Sunni Muslims of Saudi Arabia have an entirely different mindset and worldview. They do. They may have some similarities, and they may come from a region, but they are worlds apart in terms of what they care about and the way they conduct business. So that being said, Iran has been a pariah on the world stage since Jimmy Carter. And what we're watching right now is hopefully something that is going to further disable their ability to basically foment trouble on the world stage. Darlene from Gadsden checking in. Hey, Darlene, it's so good to hear from you. Said, didn't take any of the COVID shots. Okay. This is a text that I think she meant for somebody else. Darlene, I think you're texting somebody, maybe even my sweet Charlene. So she's a friend from way back who just moved out of state. David at Bucky says, Phil, in response to your emergency poll, we don't have a choice. We're already involved. While we may not have boots on the ground, the U.S. will do it all it can to ensure Israel has what it needs to succeed in its quest for survival. I agree with that. I think we are. What he's referring to, by the way, is our newsletter's out. Every day we have an email blast. The newsletter, it's called the Right Side Report. If you want it, by the way, if you don't already get it, by the way, if you thought you signed up for it and you don't see it, check your spam box just to make sure. But you can always, this same number, 833-687-4448, just text the word newsletter, one word, newsletter. You'll get an automatic prompt that allows you to sign up for it. We have thousands of people that get our daily Right Side Report. In today's Right Side Report, David at Bucky's points out, Butter set up a poll. And the poll is, should the United States get involved? David at Bucky's points out, technically we already are. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, saw this meme while watching Johnny B. Guntube last night and immediately thought of you. This is good advice for the... I've seen that one. I like that one. I love that one. Shows a picture of an Army Ranger tab. Has a little thing there, and it says, if you see any National Guard soldiers, this is out in Los Angeles, wearing this patch, it means they have a job in the Army that's basically a park ranger. They have very little training. They can be soft targets. Yeah, go poke that bear. Good luck with you. Scott from Russellville says, yet another great thought-provoking monologue, Senator. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, did you hear that the miraculous story about how one guy survived a plane crash in India that killed the other 241 pastors on board? Says, by the way, JP, I'm going to leave you a few questions on the YouTube comment section page for your sports segment, and you can choose to answer as many as you like. There you go.
I already see him coming in. Appreciate it.
Ding, 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 ding. Need a little sound effect there whenever, John.
It'd be too many.
And then Red from Tony, Alabama said, did you see the Santas give the okay for drivers to run over rioters as they surround your car? Yeah, I did. I meant to play it yesterday and I forgot. Epic. And oh, by the way, yes. And oh, by the way, I already would have anyway. Here's the thing. As long as you say that, I would rather get forgiveness than permission. If I'm on the road and a group of angry people is surrounding my vehicle and yelling at me and making a scene, and I don't know what they're there for, but I feel threatened by it, I got a thing called the Castle Doctrine says, you know what? I'm moving right on through this crowd. I don't have to floor it. I can just begin. But guess what? I don't care what you drive, from the little bittiest Prius to a Ford F-350. Bottom line is, you weigh more than they do. Just go ahead and let off that brake and tap that accelerator and work your way on through that crowd.
By the way, it's only a 20-second clip. I have it if you want to play it at all.
Do we have time right now?
I mean, we're about to go to a break anyways.
It's totally off topic.
It's fine. Somebody asked about it, though. So.
Play it.
Ah, wait on a second.
Did you just tease us all with that?
I guess I did. I don't know why audio is playing, but I guess we'll go to break and I'll figure out why.
Okay. All right. We're taking a break. We're coming right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you, so the latest edition, our podcasting is still going crazy. So our latest edition of our podcast of Right Click, which is with Birdman. Birdman, by the way, Birdman was a former competitive professional gamer. There's a lot of money in gaming, I've come to find. But anyway, he does his podcast from the backdrop of high tech and gaming, conservative content at the same time. So if you got somebody who's in that genre, into that kind of stuff, Birdman's latest edition just came out. It's called Right Click, and you can find it at rightsidemedia.org. We just spent the entire morning today filming the next edition of the Just Right podcast. That's our long form podcast. That's the one that we could spend, you know, like deep dive time having meaningful conversations with some of the most interesting people you'll ever meet. And y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, I was going to go ahead and tell you who it is. We had a couple of hours this morning with Mike Durant, the Black Hawk pilot who was shot down and made famous through the book and all that of Black Hawk Down was the name of it. Golly, what a story. And we covered his life. We didn't just cover just the Battle of Mogadishu, but of course the Battle of Mogadishu probably, I would bet, say, took up almost half of what we were doing. But what an incredible conversation. And what a great guy. Just as personable, just as nice as you could possibly hope for. Solid as a rock and a life experience like unlike any you may have ever heard before. You're going to want to see this one. It's worth it. Absolutely worth it. So a minute ago we were talking. I'm gonna break the chain here. All right, I'm gonna go off track. I'm gonna chase a rabbit. May I chase a rabbit? Squirrel.
I mean, the texter prompted it, so there you go.
Indeed,
it was his fault.
So I will say this: Ron DeSantis the other day said that in Florida, you know what? If you got a bunch of protesters surrounding your car, you're allowed to go ahead and just do what you got to do to get out of that crowd, even if you have to just use your car to move right on through them. Well, I don't think that means go plow down crowds, but if you're being surrounded, you feel threatened, it's a whole different thing. I will say this before you play the audio. John C. from Madison just texted in. He says, when Ron DeSantis said there'd be no charges against drivers when they ran over protesters a few years ago, I mentioned on Facebook that I would use the protesters like speed bumps. He said, I also said on Facebook that if a mob comes up to me and my wife and my truck, it'll be at least one dead protester from being shot by me, and Facebook turned around and banned me for a month. Reckon why? Castle Doctrine, man. All right, you got that audio? All right, this is Ron DeSantis. And who's he interviewing with? Is it Fox? Who's he?
I don't think he's interviewing with anybody. I think he's just making a statement, like from his office.
Okay. All right. Well, play it.
And we also have a policy that if you're driving on one of those streets and a mob comes and surrounds your vehicle and threatens you, you have a right to flee for your safety. And so if you drive off and you hit one of these people, that's their fault for impinging on you. You don't have to sit there and just be a sitting duck and let the mob grab you out of your car and drag you through the streets. You have a right to defend yourself in Florida.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And it was actually Rubin who was talking to. Is it Michael Rubin from the Rubin Report?
Yeah, okay. That's
but that I feel like that doesn't even have to be expressed. It's just like, hey, by the way, if you're held at gunpoint and someone's trying to rob you, you have permission to defend yourself.
Have you been to California lately?
But that's what I'm saying. I think that just illustrates how bad it is over there that you have to remind people of, Hey, you can actually defend yourself, by the way. It's actually a legal thing for you to do.
Which it's a clear indication that we have a 10th Amendment that allows states to have some sovereign right to declare mm-hmm. state laws, because you're not going to find that in New York.
No.
You're not going to find that in Illinois or in California or in Washington State or in Oregon. I guarantee you, you'd be the one at fault. Because, well, they were exercising their free right to speech, and you ran over them. No.
I have your – what was that video? And I'm sorry if we're going too far down this rabbit hole, but what was –
We are chasing a rabbit right
what,
now.
What was the video from New York, I believe, where the protesters were blocking the street and keeping a lady from going to work? And the lady got out and goes, God. I have to pay to feed my kids, and you are stopping from going to work. And that guy goes, oh, no, you're missing work. It's
yeah.
like – What?
Like,
I'm sorry, you don't have a job?
Yeah, exactly.
But some people do and actually needed to pay for that was like the most out of touch insane things. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't go to work. I'm sorry.
Well, the man bun gave it away.
Yeah, I mean, it tracks, but
it was a man bun.
It's amazing.
Man bun, speaking up. Man bun, who was sitting there with his, you know, on his bike and mm-hmm. probably eats vegan and, you know, whatever.
Not
else.
Probably. He definitely eats vegan. Or lab grown meat.
Old boy's got vegan written all over him. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to get back on this topic, though, about what's going on with Iran and Israel. We're going to spend a lot of time unpacking this. We're going to make sure you have all the information. Here's what I really want to see happen. I'm getting back on track. I'm not chasing the squirrels anymore.
I mean, it's your show. You can chase how many squirrels you want.
That's a good point. Squirrel! So here's the thing. This weekend is going to be incredibly interesting in terms of people who are news hounds, right? If you're watching the news, it's going to be wall-to-wall coverage, and it's going to be updated on a regular basis. You're also going to have conversations at church, in the fast food line, with coworkers. You're going to be talking to friends. You're going to be on social media. Someone's going to say something you're going to want to respond to. Here's a couple of high points that I want you to keep in mind. Again, I said it earlier, but this is not a new war. This is a continuation of a war that Iran started, not Israel. There will be those out there that will try to say the narrative, well, you know, Israel brings this on themselves. Sure, that's what it is. Israel asked for people to bomb them. It was last year that Iran launched massive ballistic missile and drone attacks from nation to nation. Why do I keep saying nation to nation? Because that is a big, hairy deal. So when you're talking to people, point that out. Last year, in April and in October, Iran launched missiles from its own territory as one nation against another. It didn't use a proxy. It wasn't a terror incident. It was a nation shooting at a nation. That is a huge escalation of force. The other piece of this is, it was Israel that suffered the October 7th massacres. Who did it? Hamas. Who is Hamas? They're an Iranian proxy. And then as Israel is dealing with Hamas in the Gaza Strip, suddenly they get attacked from their northern border. By who? By Hezbollah. Who's Hezbollah? Another Iranian proxy. And then down south, you know, hundreds of miles away, in a country called Yemen, right there on the Gulf, the Suez, you've got the Houthis launching missiles at ships to include U.S. Navy warships. Who are the Houthis? Oh, that's right. They're Iranian proxies. So what you're seeing right now, here's the key underlying point that I think you need to have in your quiver when you have these conversations is, this is a continuation of a war that Iran started. Israel is trying to put an end to it. We got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday, because it is a Friday. And we're going to get you all the way to go home time. Stay with us. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, War in the Middle East. We're watching the news. I got two screens up on the wall right now, CNN and Fox both going. White House officials are saying that Trump and Netanyahu have spoken earlier today. That's ongoing. Fox is reporting that the U.S. is indeed helping Israel shoot down Iranian missiles, which I would have expected. And we are also hearing that over 100 missiles have been launched from Iran towards Israel. I don't know how many have gotten through. JP, can you check on that? See if you can find anything that says I mean, I'm looking at Fox saying that there is a live update. See if you can find out how many Iranian missiles have made it through the phalanx so far. Here's a piece while he's doing that. Fox News has a story came out last night talking about what they've been striking, what they've been hitting. Well, you can imagine. First of all, when Israel had all those missiles fired at them last year, they did strike back to degrade Iranian air defense capabilities. And so the Iranian air defenses were already crippled, and they were trying to rebuild them. So right now, it does appear that Iran largely has no air defense, because one of the first things that happened is Israel struck at the Iranian air defense capabilities and basically is, I think they have SA-3s. Anyway, they have their ground-to-air capability has been degraded such that it almost feels like I saw images earlier of, or maybe I heard of it, that Israeli warplanes are actually doing refueling operations in Iranian airspace. That tells me they're operating with impunity right now. But the other piece of this is they're hitting not just military capabilities in terms of taking out their air defenses, they're also destroying nuclear sites, which you would expect. Natanz nuclear facility, which is one of the biggest ones, which is also buried deep in a mountain. We have right now satellite imagery showing that they have been constructing deep underground tunnels. Well, that Natanz has been a major target, as well as what's known as the Fordo fuel enrichment plant. The Fordo plant, by the way, the analysts believe was almost to the point where it could have produced 11 nuclear weapons within the next 30 days. So there's that. So those two facilities, Natanz and the Fordo sites, have been hit, along with several others, but they didn't stop there. Israel struck at generals, basically they're decapitating military leadership, and they struck at and killed a number of Iranian nuclear scientists. So they're taking out the people most capable. What this tells you is they've got massive intelligence capability. They've got people, I guarantee you, they've got deep penetration living inside the communities in Iran right now. The other piece of this, which is so crazy cool, is that Israel had Mossad, their CIA, had Mossad agents and other special operators that actually had set up remote hidden drone sites in Iran so they didn't have to worry about launching from all the way from Israel. And these, basically these, you know, deep penetration commandos, got on the ground, infiltrated ahead of time, uncovered or brought out their stash of drones and began launching drones from inside the country, which gives you like hardly any reaction time. So what that basically means is Operation Rising Lion, they call it, the overall preemptive strike operation, had not just airplane or warplanes launching from Israel proper and flying across other nations' airspace, they were actually inside the country, launching drones and other attacks from within the country. Listen, Israel does not play. What'd you find out, bud?
So I'm saying about 300 missiles have been launched
from
Iran into Israel, and I'm saying about 7 have gotten through.
That's today's date?
Yes.
Okay.
And nobody's been injured from the strikes.
Who's reporting that?
Everybody. Obviously, the numbers from everybody on there.
I mean, is that like a Reuters or an AP wire or something
I'm on X. I'm on the real social media X.
Oh, you're on the real news. Thank you very much.
But I believe Fox has reported that too. Of the wide consensus I've seen is about 7 of the 300 have gotten through.
Okay. So the Iron Dome is largely doing its job.
As expected, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, isn't that amazing? I mean, you're shooting, it's like shooting a bullet out of the air.
Yeah. It's, yeah, amazing. And that's part of why I wasn't buying into the, well, Iran's going to strike Israel back. It's like, yeah, and they're going to fail because they suck at this, apparently, or Israel's just that good. So, yeah, I don't think Iran's going to be able to get much through the Iron Dome.
Well, I hope not. But the question is, how long does the Iron Dome, how much ammo do they have is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that, but I know that we've got Patriot batteries there. We've got our own THAAD missile defense there. And, of course, the Iron Dome has proven itself time and time again. I'm watching video right now of Iron Dome just taking out missiles in the air. It's crazy. It's absolutely bananas. What an amazing thing. That's one of the reasons why Trump has watched what's happened here and why he wants to build the Golden Dome over America, because he's seen the effect of what the Israelis have been able to achieve by just thwarting, literally thwarting, efforts on behalf of Iran to try and strike at Israel. If all those missiles got through, it'd be a whole new day. Piece I've got here from 1819 News. Just so you know, and you might well imagine, your U.S. delegation from the state of Alabama is all in. Katie Britt, Senator Katie Britt, please join me in praying for Israel. Representative Barry Moore from down south Alabama says, America stands with Israel. Please join Heather and I in praying for them tonight. U.S. Representative Gary Palmer, who was on the show yesterday, says, please join me in praying for Israel tonight. Robert Adderholt, congressman from the 4th District, he had the most to say. He said, Israel has a right to defend itself from those who wish it harm and its extinction. And there is no greater threat to Israel than the prospect of a nuclear-armed Iran. Years of appeasement, he says, under President Biden put the world at risk of nuclear escalation, and please pray for Israel. So your U.S. delegation is, and favorable comments also from Kay Ivey and Steve Marshall and other members of the leadership of Alabama. Now, I think it's fair to say that Israel is not just crushing, you know, civilian neighborhoods, all right? They're not out there just flattening community centers and schools. And this is a very surgical strike. Their intelligence is unbelievable. Keep in mind, this is the country that decapitated Hezbollah's leadership by working long and overtime to get them to all wear pagers that contained explosives. So as Hezbollah leaders in Lebanon are walking around feeling pretty cocky with their pager on their hip, then one day all of a sudden the pager goes off. They all got a call from the same number. Cha-boom. And then didn't you tell me, yeah, the walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Hezbollah was like, okay, we're not using pagers. We're going to use walkie-talkies now. And then
the walkie-talkies
exploded. One of the most amazing videos was Hezbollah soldiers at a funeral, like a public funeral for one of the Hezbollah soldiers who died from the pagers. And while they're at the funeral, walkie-talkies blew up in their pockets. So it's like the amount of precision and Mossad is, I mean, they obviously have to be because of how many people want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, but yeah, they are just next level and that stuff.
It's like almost like creepy how good they are.
Yeah. And apparently they had the meeting for, like, purposely had them go to a meeting. I don't know if you're going to talk about that in your resources, but apparently they somehow drew all the people that wanted dead to meet urgently at a spot and then blew up that spot to kill them all. So
last night, you mean?
Yeah. So apparently, I'm not sure how, but I've seen something about how they somehow lulled all right, we need to have a meeting, everybody convene, and then that's when they blew it up. So I haven't seen specifics on that, but if that's true, then it's another example of their amazing work.
Here's the other thing. They're targeting key people. I mentioned a while ago that they are targeting actual nuclear scientists and military officials. Story here on the Daily Wire. Hossein Salami, who was the commander of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, was killed by an Israeli strike. So they're decapitating leadership. They're degrading capabilities. And you're gonna wind up seeing more and more over the next few days how specific the bomb damage assessment is going to prove that they really were. I don't know that people can truly fathom the depths to which Iran was basically co-opted over time. They're getting worn out right now. Let me tell you what, there's several things to know as we wrap up before we go to the next break. There's several things to know. This particular set of strikes is doing four things. You ready for this? Disable the Iranian nuclear program. That's primary. Decapitate the Iranian regime by eliminating their top leaders. That's also key. Debilitating their command and control capabilities. So you're watching cell towers go down. You're watching military command and control go down. They're putting them back in the dark ages when it comes to communication, and then also destroying their air defenses, I mentioned a moment ago. So you get those four D's: disable the nuclear program, decapitate their leadership, debilitate their command and control, and destroy their Iranian air defenses. And you've got an amazingly effective 24 hours so far. We'll wait and see how it pans out. In the meantime, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So I got two stories here that I was going to bring to your attention. One of them I pulled off of a website called JNS.org, and I forgot what, I think it's Joint Navals. Anyway, I forgot what the website is now that I don't have it all in front of me. But I'm saying this is key. Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers. Congressman Rogers, you may recall, is actually the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. Very powerful position in D.C., and he's from Alabama. So he is having a House Armed Services Committee meeting recently, and he had General Michael Carrillo there. And Carrillo is the CENTCOM commander. CENTCOM is the central command. That is the major combatant command that has purview over the Middle East. And Chairman Rogers asked, if the president directed, is CENTCOM prepared to respond with overwhelming force to prevent a nuclear-armed Iran? General Carrillo responded by saying, I have provided the Secretary of Defense and the president with a wide range of options. Rogers responded, I think that's a yes. And General Carrillo said, yes. So basically what he's saying is, well, and I would expect no less. By the way, it'd be negligence if they didn't have a plan. You may have to dust it off. You may have to go ahead and update it. You may have to go ahead and move some of the patches around on the chart, but still, the bottom line is they're going to have a plan. It's just a given that they'll have a plan. But I think it's also very telling that that came out just in the last couple of days. What also came out from Reuters yesterday, 2 days ago, actually, Iran threatens to strike U.S. bases in the region if the military conflicts arise. We have... Charlene and I were talking. The lovely Charlene was keeping up with this too, and she's a news hound, man. But she told me that we have, oh gosh, I want to say over 4,000 troops, maybe it's more than that, stationed in the Middle East right now. It's got to be more than that. Maybe it's 40,000, but it's a ton. But we've got quite a bit of permanent basing there. We've got you know, port capability. We've got. Forces that are in places like still in Syria, they're being pulled out over time, but there's still some there. We got embassies. We've got any number of things. What do you got?
40,000 to 50,000.
40,000. Okay, I thought that decimal point was in the wrong place. You may recall that in the last 48 hours, we began to get word that the Trump administration was evacuating non-essential personnel from U.S. embassies in places like Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Iraq, and others. Iran is saying if nuclear negotiations fail and conflict arises with the United States, Iran will strike American bases in the region, says their defense minister, Aziz Nasirzadeh, whatever, on Wednesday. So this week alone, those of y'all that are out there going, well, I thought we were going to have more negotiations. Well, Iran is saying we're going to be striking you. Well, it's kind of hard to negotiate when that's going on. Although they do have the next round of talks actually still planned. We'll see if they show up. Interesting dynamic there is that Trump said, was it you told me this? That Trump said he doesn't think the same people are going to be showing up at the table for Iran?
Yeah, he put up a truth and said, we'll see if they've changed their tone since the hardliner negotiators will not be showing up to this round of negotiations. But you see his quote this morning. Apparently he told Dana Bash said it was in response to him, his statement of that, and said, so you're saying that Israel killed these people? And Trump said, well, they didn't die of COVID. So, yeah.
That's funny, not funny, but yeah.
Well, it's funny because it's the Iranians.
It's true. So. A couple of text messages. Cameron from Decatur says, shout out to all the far-right conservatives like myself who have a man bun. Sorry, Cameron. There you go. Lisa from Tanner says, the Times of Israel reported about 3 hours ago that Israel has warned Iran that if it targets Israeli population centers with ballistic missiles, Israel will target Iranian regime leaders and state infrastructure such as oil refineries. Would not be a bit surprised. And then, following that, Steve from Madison says, go buy your gas now. Gas prices are about to explode over this Middle East disruption. Remember, this is not President Trump's fault when you fill up. That's going to be true to some extent, but I think we're also seeing our own domestic production increased greatly. So I'm hoping there's going to be an offset here. And then, you know, maybe we'll just find some alternative sourcing. Although I suspect what's going to happen, though, is you're going to see world oil supplies are going to change. It's not going to be just what we have now that I say that, because you're going to probably see some pretty stiff sanctions coming on here real quick. And Iranian oil is about all they have to export right now. You're not getting a whole lot of else, you know, other things in the mix. So I'm not going to be a bit surprised to see that there's massive sanctions on Iranian oil, which drives the world oil supply down, which means we're going to hope that we can see Saudi and our own production come up and that we see an offset to the loss of any Iranian oil. All right, listen, we are coming right back here momentarily. We got to switch gears altogether. Just brace yourselves because you need something besides war. But we're going to have a little JP on sports. JP, give us an advance. Are there super interesting stories in sports right now?
Well, and I'll be talking about this in the three and out, but you know the revenue sharing is now official college football, college sports as a whole, but mainly college football. But then also, you know, Simone Biles decided to vouch for transgenders in women's sports last week, and then immediately got shut down by Riley Gaines, and then had to let me rephrase it. Simone Biles' PR firm issued an apology. That said a whole lot without saying anything at all.
That wasn't her. That was her PR firm doing it?
That's me insinuating. Because but yeah, so we'll be covering those in the JPL and sports.
Simone, stop it.
Well, I knew it was PR because she said a whole lot without saying anything at all, which is a typical PR statement.
Well played. So. Well played. All right, there you have it. War in the Middle East. We can take more on that as the show develops. But right now, we're going to take a break and come back with some JP on sports. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.